ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 15, Instructions for Civilized Human Beings, text number 36. Ya pravraja grihat purvam tri varga varga avapanat punaha yadi seveta tan bhikshu sa vai vanta asri apatrapa yak pravraja grihat purvam Sri Vargava Panat Punaha Yadi Seveta Tan Bhikshu Savai Vantasya Patrapa Ya one who Pravraja being finished for good and leaving for the forest being situated in transcendental bliss. Grihat, from home. Purvam, at first. Trivarga, the three principles of religion. Economic development and sense gratification. Avapanat, from the field in which they are sown. Punaha, again. Yadi, if. Sevata, should accept. Tan, materialistic activities. Bhikshu, a person who has accepted the sannyas order. Saha, that person. Vai, indeed, vanta asi, one who eats his own vomit, apatrapa, without shame. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. One who accepts the sannyas order gives up the three principles of materialistic activities in which one indulges in the field of household life, namely religion, economic development, and sense gratification. One who first accepts sannyas, but then returns to such materialistic activities, is to be called a vantashi, or one who eats his own vomit. He is indeed a shameless person. Please repeat. One who accepts the sannyas order gives up the three principles of materialistic activities in which one indulges in the field of household life, namely religion, economic development, and sense gratification. One who first accepts sannyas, but then returns to such materialistic activities is to be called a vantashi, or one who eats his own vomit. He is indeed a shameless person. Purport. Materialistic activities are regulated by the institution of vana ashram dharma. Without vana ashram dharma, materialistic activities constitute animal life. Yet even in human life, while observing the principles of vana and ashram, brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra, brahmacharya, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyas, One must ultimately accept sannyas, the renounced order, for only by the renounced order can one be situated in Brahma-sukha, or transcendental bliss. In Brahma-sukha, one is no longer attracted by lusty desires. Indeed, when one is no longer disturbed, especially by lusty desires or sexual indulgence, he is fit to become a sannyasi. Otherwise, one should not accept the sannyas order. If one accepts sannyas at an immature stage, there is every possibility of his being attracted by women and lusty desires, and thus again becoming a so-called grihastha, or a victim of women. Such a person is most shameless, and he is called a vantashi, or one who eats that which he has already vomited. He certainly leads a condemned life, and our Krishna consciousness movement is advised, therefore, that the sannyasis and brahmacharis keep strictly aloof from the association of women so that there will be no chance of their falling down again as victims of lusty desires. So the text again. Ya pravraja grihat purvam tri varga vapanat punaha yadi seveta tan bhikshu savivantas ya patrapaha. One who accepts the sannyas order gives up the three principles of materialistic activities in which one indulges in the field of household life, namely religion, economic, and sense gratification. One who first accepts sannyas, then returns to such materialistic activities to be called a vantangsi, vantashi, or one who eats his own vomit, he is indeed a shameless person. Om Vishnu Praya Krishna Prasthaya Putray Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Vacharane Nirvishesha Shunivari Paskyadya De Sadharane. The very beginning of the Bhagavatam, Krishna, or Srila Vyasadeva, states that Krishna is the source of everything. This is also what Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita as the first verse of the Chatur Sloki part of the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says, Aham Saravasya Pravo, Matak Saravam Pravartate, Iti Matva Bhajante Mam Buddha Bhava Samanvitaha. That Krishna consciousness means to understand how Krishna is the source of everything. Of course, it's quite inconceivable how someone, what does it mean to be the source of everything? Just to try to conceive how someone could be the source of everything in this room is mind-boggling. Or that anyone could have everyone's combined personality in this room. What to speak of in Dallas, Texas, or America, or on this planet, or in this universe, or in all the universes. Completely beyond comprehension. And anyhow, Krishna states he's the source of everything, and he's also the source of all transcendental happiness. Therefore, anyone who factually becomes conscious of Krishna, they never become disappointed. And as Krishna says, Guru napi vichalyate, yan vidya chapalam lavam magnite nadikam tata, esmin sito nadukena guru napi vichalyate, tam vidya dukasam yogam vi yogam yogasam gitaha. In such a position, yet one is situated in balanced transcendental happiness and enjoys oneself through transcendental senses, established thus, one has never departs from the truth, and upon gaining this, one thinks that there is no greater gain. Being situated in such a position, one is never disturbed, even the greatest difficulty. This is indeed actual freedom from material miseries arising from material contact through the practice of the yoga system. In other words, if one is actually on a higher platform of consciousness, then the happiness also is superior. It is said there are three levels of happiness in devotional service. Anyone knows what the three levels are? Sadhana Bhakti, Bhava Bhakti, and Prema Bhakti. So what is it called in Sadhana Bhakti? Subhada. Subhada. That is, devotional service attracts everyone. It's beneficial for everyone. gives one all good qualities, and it gives one superior happiness and sense gratification. Generally speaking, happiness in the material world means fruit of activities. We get what we want. And unhappiness means we get what we don't want. And even superior to that happiness is, well, going to the heavenly planets, or merging in Brahman, or developing mystic powers. These are all kinds of material happiness. In any case, devotional service is supposed to be subhada, superior happiness than any kind of material happiness. But that doesn't mean necessarily just by executing sadhana bhakti that at once we feel the superior happiness. There is some happiness, even at the very beginning, but one has to come to the perfectional stage of sadhana bhakti to appreciate how it's superior to even mystic power or merging in Brahman. Merging Brahman we can't cast off as something completely insignificant. To realize that one's eternal identity, or at least one's eternal nature, not the identity, but at least the nature, means that all our distress will go away. We'd be situated in a platform better than Superman. Superman's afraid of Krypton, but the soul has not, even Krypton can't hurt the soul. On the other hand, sadhana bhakti also brings one to all kinds of auspicious, attracts everyone, beneficial for everyone, and gives one all good qualities. So by executing devotional service, one is supposed to gradually experience higher and higher levels. Krishna has said, four kinds of pious people approach him, those who are distressed, those who are wanting some comfort in life, those who are inquisitive, and one who's searching for knowledge of the absolute truth. So only when we actually come to the Brahminical platform, when we become a first-class Brahmin, then we're actually on the platform of liberation. On that stage, then one can actually say that it gives one happiness superior to any kind of material happiness. But even when one approaches Krishna out of material or desire to free oneself from material misery, the five kleshas, avidya, asmita, rag, dvesha, and avinivesita, to free oneself from the kleshas, the miseries, devotional service does that also from the very beginning by revealing our eternal identity, nature, and by giving one some knowledge about how the material world even works. In the material world, people think sense gratification will make them happy. Therefore, no one even questions whether or not they should work in order to give them the opportunities for meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex, and gambling. They think that this is natural. This is what actually will make us happy. People don't mind working the whole year and then going to Las Vegas and throwing their money away because that's what they consider happiness. So just imagine the standard of happiness and such, what standard of happiness that is. But that is for them happiness. The material senses urge some activity, and when we serve the urges of the senses, they don't urge us anymore, and we feel a relief from their urges, and we call that happiness. But Krishna says, yehi sam sparshya bhoga, dukha yona evate, adyantavanta Kuntia Nateshu Ramate Buddha. An intelligent person, he doesn't take part in the sources of misery, which are due to contact of the senses with their objects. O son of Kunti, such pleasures have a beginning and an end, and so the wise person doesn't delight in them. So that much knowledge is there at the very beginning of devotional service. It's not good to gratify the senses unrestrictedly, aimlessly. That one should try to control the senses and engage them in some kind of positive activity. So that knowledge frees one from distress. That's what actually frees one from distress. And then, after becoming free from distress, naturally one wants to positively become happy in the material world. So what does that mean? It means just clean water, fresh air, nice food, nice relationships, peaceful life, That's what happiness in the material world is. Because people are working hard to produce so-called objects for happiness that are contaminating the water, polluting the air, contaminating the soil, creating all kinds of animosity amongst people, and that's called ignorance too. They don't even know what the standard of material happiness is. So one executes devotional service, comes to a higher level of the modes of nature. At least they have some idea what will actually give us even material happiness. And then beyond that, after one is situated in a so-called position of material happiness, one knows even how to conduct household life in a peaceful way, then one realizes that that's not sufficient for real happiness. So one becomes inquisitive, is there a higher state of experience than what I'm going through simply by living a peaceful household life? Then one comes to the platform of understanding or learning how to regulate one's life in such a way as to come to the Brahman platform, the mode of goodness. And therefore, one doesn't base his life on simply working hard to improve one's material comforts in the real sense of the term, but one becomes more renounced, vanaprastha. One starts hearing and chanting philosophy, especially about Krishna more, goes to holy places, and therefore they become inquisitive, what is the higher state of consciousness? So all this is based upon successfully going through the other stages of life. Brahmachari life means one learns that sense gratification is not the highest goal of life. Brahmachari life, swadhyaya, means one requires enough knowledge that one understands that sense gratification, even real sense gratification, is not the goal of life. It's not the highest platform of happiness. And in grihastha life, dhanam, dhammas, jagnas, cha, one lives in such a way as to actually become comfortable. It is by sacrifice and austerity and charity that one actually feels comfortable, not the other way around. And then on vanaprastha life, one actually begins to cultivate real knowledge. One is able to concentrate his mind more on the hearing and chanting and not worry so much about the other three aspects of life, namely religiosity, in order to learn how to properly gain economically and then gratify the senses in a regulated way. But even in vanaprastha life, one gradually realizes that if I'm going to be actually situated on the platform of happiness, I have to give up all material attachment, and therefore abhayam sattva samshudhira jnana yoga vyayastiti. One tries to develop fearlessness, cultivation of spiritual knowledge, and purification of one's existence. So on that platform, one is able to concentrate one's mind in Krishna consciousness without being distracted about so many other materialistic obligations. But of course, if one makes only a show, one becomes a brahmachari show. One thinks, I put on saffron, and now I'm a brahmachari. Or one thinks a household life means I have a license to do whatever I want because I have white on. And therefore, my white, even the Yamadutas come to take me away, I just show them I'm white, and they'll say, oh, I'm sorry, we didn't realize you. You could have done whatever you wanted because you have white on. Or one takes so-called vanaprastha life and simply goes on vacation to Disneyland and other places. So these type of, or sannyas is just an external dress. These things will not help very much. It is a question of development of consciousness so that one becomes detached from, first of all, one realizes that sense gratification is not the perfection of life. Therefore, one doesn't make plans how to increase one's sense gratification. Nor does one think simply by following the regular principles of religion and leading a relatively peaceful, happy life, that that's the perfection of life. Perfection of grihastha life is to realize to live grihastha life so nicely that one realizes that that the highest happiness we get from grihastha life can't be the ultimate happiness. But if one is simply fighting and struggling in household life, never feeling satisfied in household life, then one will think simply, I got the wrong household life. Let me get another household life and become happy in that household life. No, one has to learn how to perfect one's household life by living nicely in household life, getting the maximum amount of happiness by ultimately living peacefully, eating nice prasad, having a peaceful, nice, comfortable house, etc., so that one realizes that this is not really what I'm really looking for. Then when one realizes that, one can take vanaprastha life and actually search after knowledge of the Absolute, rather than making all kinds of arrangements for material household life. Then by concentrating the mind upon Krishna a little bit more, one realizes that happiness is in concentrating the mind in devotional service to Krishna, and then one can actually take sannyas life. But if one doesn't go through the different stages, then one will simply think, I missed out on something, and therefore one will think that one will lament rather than actually look forward to the happiness of becoming perfectly Krishna conscious. Therefore it says here that unless one has actually progressively come to the higher stages of consciousness, if one finds oneself hankering still after material happiness, then it's not a good idea to take sannyas. Nor can one last very long in such a so-called renounced order of life. The renounced order of life is a renunciation of the material concept of life, not simply changing color or dress. Otherwise, when one tries to hear and chant about Krishna, one will become distracted by thinking that, what is the value of this hearing and chanting? If I only had a nice house, big house in order to do it, with a nice wife to cook me nice prasadam, then the hearing and chanting I could go on very easily. Unfortunately, it doesn't work like that. Just like that story of the Brahmin who only had some kopins, and he was living by the bank of the Jamuna, and one day he washed his kopins, the only possession he had in life, and one mouse came and took the kopins away. Being embarrassed, he went and begged another pair of kopins, but the result of that was that he was afraid that some mouse was going to take that pair away also, so he begged a cat. And after getting a cat, he had to get milk for the cat, but the milk was very hard to get. There were no grocery stores around. So he had to get a cow. The cows were he was beyond his technological expertise, so he got a wife to milk a cow. But the wife wanted some children, so he had to get a house. In order to get the house, he had to get a job. To get the job, he had to get a car, so he was working at night. So he had two jobs and a house and a wife and two children and a cow and a cat, all to protect his underwear. So realizing how complicated life was getting, he simply threw his underwear away and walked away. So similarly, materialistic life means the more we get involved in it, the more complicated it becomes, and therefore one has no time to hear and chant about Krishna, and even if one has time to hear and chant about Krishna, one's mind is so disturbed by all the arrangements that he made so he can hear and chant about Krishna, that he can't hear and chant about Krishna very nicely. He can't get the full benefit because one is too much disturbed by all the arrangements one is trying to make in materialistic life. Therefore, one should work, as Prabhupada writes, that if one is a Brahmin in the material world, then one should work like a Brahmin, hearing and chanting about Krishna, trying to prove Krishna's existence scientifically, preaching. But that means that one has to live very simply, because otherwise, if one's life is too complicated, then one will not have time to hear and chant about Krishna. And if we can't hear and chant about Krishna, then what are we going to tell anyone else about Krishna? We have to have some inspiration to preach effectively. Not that, you know, it's the same old thing. No, it has to be new and fresh. In the spiritual world, souls there, it's not like another day, another 16 rounds there. we hope we get through them, because Krishna said, if I don't chant my 16 rounds here, I'll be back in the spirit, in the material world again. Now, everyone's very enthusiastic to perform service there. That's why they're there. And their enthusiasm is always growing. So similarly, our enthusiasm in devotional service has to be there at every stage of life to actually make real progress. Otherwise, it'll be very difficult to ultimately concentrate the mind upon Krishna progressively. So if one is a Brahmin, one should act like a Brahmin. And if one is a Kshatriya, has that mood, one should try to organize things and fight for Krishna so that the preaching work goes on. And if one is a Vaishya, just like, then one should try to work in order to provide the means by which the preaching work should go on, to get the money or the lakshmi that's necessary to feed the preaching work. So the Brahmins, the Vaishyas, the Kshatriyas, and the Shudras who are assisting, they should do their duty, but at the same time they have to have a sense of Krishna consciousness, which comes through hearing and chanting about Krishna. But after all, the best thing is, somehow or another, eventually to come to the platform where we get such a taste for hearing about and chanting about Krishna that we don't have to go through a struggle for all the other things. Although one may struggle and work in the material world, but if he has a sufficient taste for hearing about chanting about Krishna, in any phase of the struggle at any time, one will simply be in Krishna consciousness. So that's the perfection, to come to that platform, so that even if one is not engaged in any activity, still one is remembering Krishna. And even if one is engaged in activities, one is still remembering Krishna. But until we come to that platform, we have to engage according to our propensity, according to our mode of nature that we're situated in, such a way that we'll actually develop a liking for hearing and chanting about Krishna. So brahmachari life is an opportunity to gain the basic knowledge. Grihastha life should not be expanded so much that one has no time to hear and chant about Krishna. One only has time to hear and chant about what's the newest thing we're going to add to our house. Therefore, it's not good to have unlimited children, especially in modern society. Maybe in an agrarian culture where the children are actually helpful, but in modern society, having a lot of children is simply a burden usually. Trying to figure out where they're going to go to school, if they're going to go to college or not, what their occupation is, all the different shots they have to get, the immunization, what their association is, whether they're playing video games or not. So many different anxieties. So therefore one will have no time to hear and chant about Krishna. One may come to the temple every other Janmashtami just to make sure that one is remembered as being pious. But that would not be very helpful for one's spiritual advancement. On the other hand, if one leads a regulated household life and takes advantage of coming to the temple regularly and hearing and chanting about Krishna, then even in household life, it becomes just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur's household life. He thought his house was just like Goloka Vrindavan, and that the Charanamrita that he was tasting was just like the Ganges. So household life can be blissful if it's in Krishna consciousness, and one is not struggling endlessly to increase one's material so-called assets. On the other hand, in any of the other orders, if the hearing and chanting is not the basic principle, then one will also become gradually bewildered by the illusory energy. Until one actually is back in Goloka Vrindavan, it is said that the yogis, they never think that their mind and senses are controlled, because they know as soon as they become inattentive, even briefly, then at once they can be captured by the unrestricted, unbridled, Prabhupada writes, senses. So therefore one should always remain vigilant and engage oneself in one's duties, and at the same time try to cultivate a sense of Krishna consciousness, sense of one's identity in relation to Krishna, so one's activities are actually dovetailed in Krishna's service. And they're not just done independently or unmindfully or forgetfully or doubtfully or something else. They're done actually to please Krishna and then one's feeling of being connected with Krishna will be there, and one can make continuous progress towards Krishna consciousness. So that can be done in any order, so anyone who's trying to do things devotionally, if they take to the process as Prabhupada has given it to us, then they can be make gradual progress in any position of life. And therefore, stane sita shuti gitam tanavang manovir, remaining in one's own position, Lord Brahma says, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has agreed, remaining in any position, one can continuously hear and chant and serve Krishna, then one's life will gradually make progress. As Krishna becomes pleased, he reveals himself, and as we get the higher taste, then we become safe in Krishna's association. And if we forget the basic principle of austerity, well, self-study, sacrifice, charity, and penance, and tapasya, and forget how this develops into fearlessness, cultivation of one's spiritual identity or cultivation of spiritual knowledge, and at the same time purification of one's existence, we don't see these as the final goal of our existence, as our progress to help us become Krishna conscious, that at any stage we may give up even the basic things like self-study to find out who we actually are. We may give up sacrifice, charity, and penance. We may give up austerity, and therefore we won't become fearless, we won't become purified, and we won't actually develop real transcendental realization, and then we'll become attracted again to so-called material happiness, progress of material happiness. So, I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
My question is, there is an old saying that Bono, another brahmachari, has bit the dust. And
does the dust taste here so good here? Or is he very special?
Talking about the dust in Goloka, in Vrindavan. But there was this idea that, you know, entering grihastha ashrams, you know, somehow entangling and a problem, a fall down. And then, you know, now we're hearing in this verse that the sannyasi who goes back, say, for whatever reason, all these reasons that you've given in class, goes back to grihastha ashram, or goes back to material life. It's like eating their own vom. So it doesn't, you know, as a grihastha, you feel, wow, this is not good. At the same time, we see most of our young devotees going into grihastha ashram. We want to encourage them. Actually, it's a more responsible position. It's a step in the right direction, and so on and so forth. So I was just wondering if you could give us a little bit of insight.
Well, again, every ashram and varnas help us remember Krishna. Unless we take the goal is to become Krishna conscious, then it doesn't matter what ashram is, or it's a failure. Shravam eva hi kevalam. So better to avoid grihastha ashram, just go back to Godhead. But who's going to do that? Therefore, we take a position where we can live relatively peacefully. The whole idea of grihastha ashram is to be peaceful. But of course, to become peaceful takes a lot of work, so that we can hear and chant about Krishna peacefully. But if we miss the point that we're supposed to become peaceful, and that we're supposed to, by controlling the senses and mind, by being able to concentrate our minds in a regulated way in Krishna consciousness, then we've missed the whole idea of grihastha life. Obviously, if someone's so peaceful already that they're not at all attracted by materialistic life, they don't care where they sleep, they don't care what they eat, they don't care how they dress, they don't care what people think about them, they don't have any of these cares, then they can very peacefully hear and chant about Krishna. But if one is worried where I'm going to sleep tonight, what am I going to eat today, you know, what about my relationships, do they love me, do they not love me? So if one is worried about all these different things, then one will not be able to hear and chant very nicely. One will actually make the arrangements, officially or unofficially, so that one has a comfortable materialistic life. So better to do it officially and at the same time regulate one's life in such a way, according to one's means, what comes, as Krishna said, Idricha lava shantu sto dvanvati to dimatsaraha samaksidaval siddhau chakritvapi nanabhajite. One is satisfied with gains which comes of its own accord, who's free from duality and does not envy, who's satisfied both in success and failure, is said to be, well, he's not entangled, although performing activities. So one should be satisfied in one's household life, so that whatever comes easily, one is able to accept and therefore concentrate the wife and the children in the real business, which is to become Krishna conscious. But if unfortunately one gets a husband or one gets a wife which is incompatible, then it becomes hellish. If the husband and wife, if the wife wants a bigger and bigger house and more better car and more luxuries, or if the husband wants that also, and the other wants to become Krishna conscious, then it's incompatible. And therefore, household life will become very unpleasant. So one should have a compatible relationship so that one has the same goals, both the husband and the wife, and hopefully the goal is to become Krishna conscious. And that means not to try to understand that real comfort means at least to be peaceful. If everyone is agitated all the time because one feels one doesn't have enough, then one will always be agitated. But if one is satisfied in any circumstances, any reasonable circumstances, and at the same time tries to develop Krishna consciousness, then household life can be very pleasant. But one's supposed to have taken sannyas after passing through the other stages. But if it's just done for show, then it's embarrassing. But better to be embarrassed and try to struggle on with Krishna consciousness than give up, as Prabhupada gives the example in Gajendra, the elephant fighting against the crocodile. Better to keep on the fight than give up and just let the crocodile eat you. Give up. So Prabhupada said, even sometimes he gave sannyas to persons who were very young and inexperienced to help the preaching movement, and they went back to household life. The Prabhupada said, that's all right, but don't forget to carry on the fight if you're trying to become Krishna conscious. So, of course, Narada Muni is speaking to Yudhisthira Maharaj. They're living in a civilized society where these things are not supposed to go, where people actually are supposed to progress from one stage to the next. But sometimes that didn't happen or doesn't happen. And therefore, we should really understand the real focus is on becoming Krishna conscious in any circumstance. For one who's actually spiritually elevated, sannyas life is favorable towards becoming Krishna conscious. But for one who's not so elevated, then they may not be able to maintain that ashram, but they shouldn't give up Krishna consciousness. They should go on with the struggle to try to live life materially regulated. At the same time, try to focus the mind in Krishna service. Anything else? Yes.
Kind of kleshas, we are always familiar with the Adi 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 Bodhi Adi Devi, but you mentioned in Sanskrit, can you elaborate?
Avidya means ignorance. We don't know who we are. Asmita means false ego. We think we're something that we're actually not. And as soon as we think we're something we're not, namely this body, along with the body come certain attachments and aversions, raga and dvesha. And then when we become absorbed in serving the attachments and aversions under the control of the spell of the false ego and ignorance, then we become more and more absorbed in materialistic conceptions. We're always fearful of becoming annihilated with the annihilation of the body. Abhinivesha. It's all miserable. Not who know who we are and think we're something that we're not and become absorbed in a crazy machine which is always pushing us here and there many times for things that we don't need or are actually undesirable for us. And then following their dictations and winding up more and more in a miserable conception of life. Anything else? OK. Okay, thank you very much. Krandaraj Shimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande Haribol.